Please turn in your Bibles, if you would, to, first of all, Genesis 3. Genesis 3, 1 through 16 first, and then we're going to turn to Genesis 50. Hear God's Word. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "From the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat. But from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die." The serpent said to the woman, "You surely will not die, for God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate, and she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves loin coverings. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" He said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me from the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you more than all cattle, and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you will go, and dust you will eat all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel." To the woman he said, "I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. In pain you will bring forth children, yet your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." And then if you'd turn to Genesis 50, the very end of the book of Genesis. Genesis 50, verses 15 to the end of the chapter. Genesis 50, verse 15 and following. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "What if Joseph bears a grudge against us and pays us back in full for all the wrong which we did to him?" So they sent a message to Joseph saying, "Your father charged before he died, saying, 'Thus you shall say to Joseph, please forgive, I beg you, the transgression of your brothers and their sin, for they did you wrong. And now please forgive the transgression of the servants of God of your father.' And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Then his brothers also came and fell down before him and said, 'Behold, we are your servants.' But Joseph said to them, 'Do not be afraid. For am I in God's place? As for you, you meant evil against me. You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result, to preserve many people alive. So therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones. So he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. Now Joseph stayed in Egypt, he and his father's household, and Joseph lived 110 years. Joseph saw the third generation of Ephraim's sons. Also the son of Machir and the son of Manasseh were born on Joseph's knees. Joseph said to his brothers, I am about to die, but God will surely take care of you and bring you up from this land to the land which he promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob. Then Joseph made the sons of Israel swear, saying, God will surely take care of you, and you shall carry my bones up from here. So Joseph died at the age of 110 years, and he was embalmed and placed in a coffin in Egypt. May God be pleased to bless to us the reading of his word. Amen. I've given you an outline in the bulletin. It's actually not a sermon outline. It's an outline of the book of Genesis. And I'll be referring to that outline in the course of our study this morning. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your good word. Thank you that your word, the Bible, is intended to lead us to Christ. And we pray this morning, Father, that this will indeed be the case, that you will, by your word, by the power of your word and spirit, lead us to Christ. Bless us to this end, we pray, and give us your grace, we ask, in the good and gracious name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So Genesis begins, in the beginning. But as Genesis is the book of beginnings, it's not only the book that lays out the beginning of creation for us, the creation of this physical world. Genesis lays out the beginning of the plan of redemption, God's plan of redemption. And we see this, it seems to me, clearly in the way Genesis is laid out, its structure, an important thing to understand when studying the Bible is that structure helps us understand meaning, and the structure of Genesis helps us to understand meaning. And the meaning that we derive when we begin to understand the structure of Genesis is that God is leading you and me to trust his plans and the gospel that he gives us in Jesus Christ. He does this in Genesis, and this is his plan for Genesis. And so I give you this point this morning, since I'm famous, I guess, for the one point idea, that you are to trust God's plans and his gospel promise in Christ. This is what Genesis leads you to. Well, as I say, I've given you this outline that is an outline of Genesis. And most of the commentators, when you read them, indicate that Genesis is divided into three parts. So I suppose we should have a three-part sermon here, a three-point sermon. But actually, it turns out to be an 11-point sermon. Some of you are frowning as I say that. This is true that most of the commentators indicate that Genesis is given in three parts. Genesis 1 through 11 bring us from creation to the father of Abraham. And then in Genesis 12, you see where I have the dotted lines there in the outline. In Genesis 12, we come to Abraham. And the next section of Genesis gives us Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Genesis 12 through 36. And Genesis 37 through 50 brings us to Joseph. And that section of Genesis is really called the Joseph stories. And so most of the commentators indicate that Genesis has these three great sections. And that really is one way to look at the book of Genesis. And when you look at it in this way, and in the way I'll give to you in a moment, you go from creation to recreation in Exodus. So you have the creation narrative at the beginning of Genesis, and it only takes up a short piece in Genesis. It's interesting, isn't it? In Genesis, the creation story takes a short time, but we usually spend a long time talking about it. In Genesis, the emphasis is not there, as we'll see. And then Genesis carries us to recreation in Exodus, where the people of God are brought out of Egypt, redeemed, and formed into a covenant community and a worshiping community. But interestingly enough, you see, Genesis is really divided differently. It's divided by what Moses calls the generations. And you see, I've given you the various texts in the outline here. So I want you to leaf through your Bible, leaf through Genesis with me, and I'll help you with this. Look first of all at Genesis chapter 2 and verse 4. Genesis 2:4. In my Bible, which is the New American Standard Version, it says, "This is the account of the heavens and earth when they were created in the day that the Lord made the heavens and the earth." And literally, it says, "These are the generations of the heavens and the earth." The first generation. Then, if you turn in your Bibles to chapter 5, Genesis chapter 5, verse 1, we find something similar. "This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day when God created man, he made him in the likeness of God." These now are the generations of Adam. And a genealogy follows, you see. Genesis chapter 6, Genesis chapter 6 and verse 9. "These are the records of the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his time. Noah walked with God." These are the generations of Noah. Now we have the story of the flood that comes along. Genesis chapter 10, a little bit more. Genesis chapter 10, verse 1. "These are the records of the generations of Shem, Ham, and Japheth, the sons of Noah." Okay? And so we have a record of Noah's family. And if you drop down in Genesis chapter 10 to verse 21, to Genesis chapter 10 verse 21, not another generation, but another significant term. "Also, Shem was the father of the children of Eber." Eber. Probably the name from which the word Hebrew comes. All right. Genesis chapter 11, verse 10. Chapter 11, verse 10. "These are the records of the generations of Shem. Shem was 100 years old and became the father of Arpachshad, who 2 years after the flood." the generations of Shem. Now we go to 11:27. 11:27. Now these are the records of the generations of Terah. Terah became the father of Abram, or Abraham. And when we get into chapter 12, we find Abraham. Genesis chapter 25. Now there's a longer section, you see. Genesis chapter 25. There's a rationale for all of this. Genesis chapter 25 and verse 12. Genesis 25, 12. Now these are the records of the generations of Ishmael, Abram's son, whom Hagar, the Egyptian, Sarah's maid, bore to Abram. Ishmael. Just a short section here. And then 25:19. Now these are the records of the generations of Isaac, Abram's son. Abraham became the father of Isaac. And then there's a long section. And you go to Genesis 36. Genesis 36 and verse 1. Genesis 36, 1. Now these are the records of the generations of Esau. That is Edom. And this is repeated. Interestingly enough, there's a little repetition here. When you go to Genesis 36, 9. These are the records of the generations of Esau, the father of the Edomites in the hill country of Seir. And then finally, in Genesis 37, it's actually verse 2. I've got in my outline verse 1. It's actually verse 2. These are the records of the generations of Jacob. You see, Genesis is broken up purposely by Moses with the use of this terminology, generations. And there are specific sections in the book of Genesis with regard to each of these generations. Well, this gives a rationale behind the thought that Genesis 3:15 is the theme verse of Genesis. So go back to Genesis 3:15, if you would. Genesis 3:15. Listen again to Genesis 3:15. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. These are words spoken by God to the serpent in the hearing of Adam and Eve. And these words are a promise. I will put enmity, devil. I will put enmity between you and the woman. The woman had snuggled up to the serpent. And the woman and the serpent were good friends. They liked each other. And now God comes along and says, I'm going to put enmity between you, devil, and the woman. In other words, I'm going to separate the woman from you, devil. I'm going to redeem her from your clutches. See? Now, that's a very good thing. Genesis 3:15 again. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. In other words, I'm not only going to put enmity between you, devil, and the woman, but I'm going to put a division between your children, devil, and the children of the woman. I'm going to have a group of children in the world. I'm going to have my people in the world. Between your seed and her seed. Now notice something very interesting about the word seed. The word seed really is kind of an interesting word because It's what some have called a collective singular. In other words, when you go to the hardware store and you buy a bag of seed, what do you come home with? Thousands of seeds, right? So the word seed can refer to one, or the word seed can refer to many. It's what some have called, as I say, a collective singular. And you get this little bit of tension in Genesis 3:15. I will put enmity between you and the woman, singular, see, and between your seed, devil, and her seed. Well, you get the plural emphasis there. But now at the end of verse 15, you get the singular emphasis again. He, singular, shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. The one seed, of course, who is the seed who crushes the serpent's head? It is Jesus Christ. This is the first gospel promise. So this is a text that lays out the plan of God to have children for himself and gives us the gospel promise. What a wonderful thing that is. Well, let's look at this briefly in the generations. Will you work with me again on this? Genesis. Let's just go to Genesis 5. Maybe I ought to go back to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 4 quickly. This is the account of the heavens and the earth, or these are the generations of the heavens and earth when they were created in the day that the Lord made the heavens and the earth. Why do the generations start with the generations of the heavens and the earth? Because Adam was taken from the dust of the ground. Adam was from the earth and earthy. This is how Paul puts it. This is how it begins. Okay? And then there's the fall. And then there's the promise. And the story of redemption begins. And in chapter 5, it says, verse 1, this is the book of the generations of Adam. And look at the very end of verse of chapter 4, verse 26 in chapter 4. To Seth, to him also a son was born, and he called his name Enosh. And then men began to call upon the name of the Lord publicly. Public worship of God was taking place. The promise of a people was emerging. And then Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. And verse 9, these are the records of the generations of Noah. But look at Genesis 6:8. What does Genesis 6:8 say? And Noah found favor, grace. This is what it means. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And then Genesis 10:1. Genesis 10:1. These are the records of the generations of Shem, Ham, and Japheth, the sons of Noah. And sons were born to them after the flood. And I already pointed out in verse 21, probably the forebearer of the name Hebrew, Eber. And then Genesis 11:10. These are the records of the generations of Shem. Shem was 100 years old, and he became the father of Arpachshad 2 years after the flood. And then there's a genealogy that runs up to the time of Abraham. And if you look at the earlier genealogy in the book of Exodus, it runs from Adam up to Noah. Very striking. Adam all the way up to the forebearer of Abraham. And then Genesis, we already looked at 11:27. 25:12. How can a person get so excited about genealogies? 25:12. Now these are the records of the generations of Ishmael, Abraham's son, whom Hagar, the Egyptian, Sarah's maid, bore to Abraham. Well, there's only 7 verses devoted here to Ishmael. Why? The seed of the serpent. The seed of the evil one. You see in Genesis 25:18, at the end of that verse, he settled in defiance of his relatives. He was a defiant man, not a faithful man. But there's only little notice given to Ishmael. The bulk of the record is given to the children of God, you see. God had a plan. God had a plan for a people. And he was developing that plan. Genesis 25:19. Now these are the records of the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham became the father of Isaac. And now again, we have a longer section. You see, this section goes all the way to Genesis 35. The emphasis on the children of God. Structure helps us understand meaning. And then in chapter 36, now these are the records of the generation of Esau, only through verse 8. Short section devoted to Esau. Why? Because Moses and God is placing the emphasis not on the evil children, but on the children of God and God's plans and purposes that the children of God followed, and they were trusting in the promised Savior. And then there's a repeat in Genesis 36:9. These are the records of the generation of Esau. Again, the father of the Edomites. The Edomites were an historic enemy of Israel. Herod was an Edomite who tried to kill the Savior. And so particular notice is given to the children of Esau. But then turning in 37:1-2, these are the records of the generation of Jacob. And now the stories of Jacob's son Joseph all the way to the end of the book. You see the heavy emphasis that's placed upon the seed of the woman and the plan of God for his own people. Well, that's one side of it. What about the promise? What about the promise, the gospel promise? Well, let's quickly look at some places where the gospel promise appears in Genesis. We already looked at Genesis 3:15. See, it all begins there, the gospel promise. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. The first note of the promised Savior. And then flash forward to Genesis chapter 12. I know, I'm making you work with your Bible a little bit. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3. Look at the promise again in Genesis 12:3. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. The promise to Abraham. in you. This is a shortened version of the promise. In you and in your seed, all the families of the earth will be blessed. The gospel promise. And then Genesis 15. Yeah, you just have to go a page or two. Genesis 15, verses 5 and 6. Again to Abraham. And he took him outside and said, "Now look toward the heavens and count the stars, if you are able to count them." And he said, "So shall your seed," see, there it is again. Your Bible may say descendants, but it's literally seed. "So shall your seed be." Then he believed in the Lord and he reckoned it to him as righteousness. Here is Abraham as the example of justification by grace through faith, trusting in the promised Savior. Genesis 17, 7. Again to Abraham. Abraham was concerned. Was he going to have children? Maybe his bondservant was going to have to provide an heir. And God said in 17:7, "I will establish my covenant between me and you and your seed after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God to you and to your seed after you." The seed of the woman being played out in the gospel promise. 22:18. 22:18. Here's a restatement of the promise. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. Abraham sacrifices Isaac. And why does Abraham obey God? Because he trusts God. Because he believes that even if he had to sacrifice Isaac on that altar, God would raise up Isaac from the dead in order to fulfill his promise. He believes the promise. He believes the gospel. And then there's Isaac himself. Genesis 26:4. Genesis 26:4. God gives this promise. "I will multiply your seed." My version says descendants, and literally it's seed. "I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven and will give your seed all these lands, and by your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed." There it is. In you and in your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. And then finally, in Jacob's dream, concerning the ladder in Genesis 28 and verse 14. Genesis 28 and verse 14. "Your seed will also be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and in your seed, all the families of the earth will be blessed." See, there it is again. That gospel promise. The promise given to Abraham. The promise first given in the hearing of Adam and Eve in the garden. The gospel promise. Well, I want to verify for you now, you see, that what we're saying is true. I want to verify for you what we're saying is true from the New Testament. Turn with me. I want to go back to Genesis, but turn with me to Galatians chapter 3. And I want you to look at three verses. I want you to look at three verses in Genesis or Galatians chapter 3. Genesis 3:8. I remember being in a Sabbath school class years ago, and the Sabbath school teacher, I was sitting in the class, and after the class, the Sabbath school teacher sat in front of me, and he said, well, it's too bad that with regard to these Old Testament promises, that the New Testament doesn't call them the gospel anywhere. I said, Galatians 3:8. Look at Galatians 3:8. The scripture foreseeing God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the nations will be blessed in you. What is that promise? It's the gospel. It's the gospel promise. And look at verse 16. 3:16. Now the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. He does not say, and to seeds, as referring to many, but rather to one, and to your seed, that is Christ. What did Moses preach? Moses preached Christ. Jesus stood with the Jews and he said, if you had believed Moses, you would believe me, because he spoke about me. That's what Jesus said, and it's true. And then verse 29. And if you belong to Christ, Paul's writing to the Galatians, and I'm reading this text to you so that you hear this text, you who belong to Christ. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. Amen. You are Abraham's seed. Go back to Genesis 3:15 with me now. And I will put enmity between you and the woman. Devil, God speaking, and between your seed and her seed, I will have a people, God says, and if you belong to Christ, you are part of that seed. You. Genesis 3:15 is therefore about you, friends. It's about you and me. And the generations that follow in the book of Genesis unfold the story of God keeping His promise to successive generations. I guess you have to get a little older to be interested in genealogies and to get on Ancestry.com and do some of these things. And I found out that my father's father comes from Eastern Germany, in an area that used to be Prussia. And I found out that my mother's father, his line goes back to Northern Ireland. What's all that about? I don't know. But I'd like to know. And there's a sense in which every one of us in this room, in our own genealogies, go back to Noah, and from Noah back to Adam. If that were not true, we wouldn't be here, you see. In physical descent, but in spiritual descent, the Bible puts it in terms of Abraham. who believed God and were Abraham's seed. And because that's the truth, we're Adam's spiritual descendants also, as he believed in the promise of God. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. Genesis is the story of God's plan for the two seeds and for his people. And Genesis is the story of the beginnings of God's redemption in the gospel, and how God's people have always trusted God's plan and God's gospel in Christ. That's the purpose of Genesis. And God is calling you to believe God's plans and to believe God's gospel in Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. And thank you for this wonderful book of Genesis. And I pray, Lord, that you'd be pleased to bless us and strengthen us as we more and more trust your plans and trust your gospel in Christ Jesus. Hear us, we ask, in his good and gracious name. Amen.